Good morning. It's a privilege to be here to look at the Word of God with you. As Mike said, we are. Oops, there's someone at my door. Sorry, that was just someone laughed. let me just get my notes ready here. As we celebrate our nation's birthday and foundation, it's good that we celebrate it. You know, there's many in our country that do not enjoy or realize the freedoms that we have. They don't live in China. They don't know some of the persecutions. It's good that we have freedom to worship like we do today. You know, our country's not perfect, obviously, but we are to be salt and light. We have to be witnesses for Christ and the gospel. And, you know, that's one of our responsibilities. We read that for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are thankful that we are able to do this with freedom. Before we start, just adding on, wasn't able to be at the memorial yesterday, but I had some thoughts for that, and also just how it has affected us as a body of believers here at Northwest. We pray for comfort and peace for Bethany Brosman's family. She fought and struggled with leukemia for almost 7 years. Judy and I first met her at the high school camp trip to the Mississippi Palisades in 2013. And I verified that with Darlene, because that's what I remember. Darlene brought her to be with the other high schoolers and to just enjoy camping, to be just a young person enjoying life. I remember that she was eager to go to college and start a new phase in her life. I remember, but I believe she was thinking of going to Aurora Community College for some reason. That stuck into my mind as we spoke. And, you know, she's just getting ready for the next step. But unbeknownst to her, God had a different plan. You know, we did get to see her. We saw her in our pews. She was strong. We at Northwest prayed for the battle with leukemia. It was good to see her strong. It was good to see her holding to her faith. We remember the many trips that she had at Northwest Hospital. We remember the trips that she went to Seattle with her mom for the clinical trials, and I believe it was the CAR T cell therapy, if I remember correctly. We prayed during those times when her count, white blood count, was so low. We didn't know if she was going to make it. But during all that time, you know, she was steadfast, and we received reports from Darlene of just how she has grown in her faith during this battle. And the one thing is, now we know she's in the presence of our victorious Savior. Because of her faith, because of her relying on who Christ is, that now she is with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I bring that up because it's a good for us as an assembly. Because it reminds us, you know, if we forget, you know, as a body of believers, we prayed in almost 7 years for this young lady. And we have to continue in our diligence in prayer as an assembly. We have that list that goes out every week with the different prayer requests. it seldomly changes, but we continue to pray for those who are ill, those who are going through hard times. It's good. It's good that we pray as an assembly. We must continue doing that. With that, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you for your word, that Lord, that you have given us to us so that we might know your will. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, for he empowers us. He guides us. We thank you for him. Pray that we would be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's proddings in our life. That, Lord, that we would, as an assembly, continue to be your witness here on the north side of Chicago, or even just in our own neighborhood. Help us to seek you and to give you glory. We thank you for this time. Thank you for, as we open your word, we thank you for the truths and the guidance and direction that you've given to us. We thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to start in the book of Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. J. Vernon McGee likes to call it the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And I think I like that title better. This is a continuation of the Lord's work through the power of the Holy Spirit by the apostles, and then for us too, his children. There are some key words in Acts that I, took down. I think some of these key words, there's three that comes to my mind. It's the Holy Spirit, witness, and pray. And we'll see that. That's a theme that will go right along through the book of Acts. You know, in the Gospels, if you look at the very end, there was recorded the last actions of Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the last chapter talks about the resurrection of Jesus. We got that in Acts 1. In Mark, it talks about the ascension of Jesus. We get that in Acts 1. In Luke, it talks at the end of the end of the book, it says, the promise of the Holy Spirit. We get that in Acts chapter 1. In John, we have the promise of the second coming. And we have that in Acts chapter 1. It's like the four Gospels have funneled to now the book of Acts. You know, it's the bridge between the Gospels and the Epistles. How can you end at, the ascension, as we see in Bethany. Bethany was where our Savior ascended. And then the next book would be Romans, and we'd be in Rome already. Well, there was a big gap there. There was 30 years that Luke recorded in the book of Acts. And that's what we're going to study as an assembly through the elders for 28 weeks. So we'll see how long this will take us. So as we see this, the Gospels funneling into to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and it's the book of Acts is like a story. And so as elders, I think we have to keep it like a storytelling way. And so I think, every chapter will have a title so that you would remember what that chapter was about. So Acts chapter 1's title is The Promise to Send the Holy Spirit. Let me just read to you. I'm going to start from Luke chapter 1 and his introduction. And then I'm going to read Luke's introduction in Acts. Okay? So Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Luke is the author of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. He says in Luke chapter 1, "And as much as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in orderly sequence, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty about the things you have been taught. That was his intro in Luke. Now, his intro in Acts, verse 1 through 3. The first account, O Theophilus, does that sound familiar? So he's writing to that same person, Theophilus. And this Theophilus means God lover or lover of God. But let me just continue. The first account, O Theophilus, I composed about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over 40 days and speaking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, many people, you know, ask who this Theophilus was, and there's many, many commentaries written about that. I won't get into that. I'll let you come to that conclusion. But it's written to, you know, I loved it. Theophilus means God lover. So it could be us, right? We love God. So this could be a letter to us. You probably, you know, I look around and I'm sure you've had so, you know, heard so many sermons on Acts, and always, at least in my me remembering going through my notes, there's always one name that goes along with a study in Acts, and it's Sir William Ramsay. Now, who's he? And I'm sure he was an archaeologist and biblical skeptic. Ramsay was raised as a biblical non-believer by his atheist parents. He taught in the University of Edinburgh and believed that the Bible writers made facts and stories up, which he preferred to call as a book of fables. The book of Acts, he declared, was full of errors, and to prove this contention, he traveled to Asia Minor for 25 years to demonstrate Luke's unreliability. He wanted to prove it wrong. He understood he could not prove or disprove miracle accounts, but he could show Luke to be a sloppy historian on facts that could be verified, geographical and historical. He felt he could discredit Luke's unverifiable stories. Ramsay the skeptic returned to Great Britain and shocked the intellectual world by writing that he had converted to Christianity. Every one of Luke's facts checked out. This man who set out to refute the Bible found himself accepting the Bible as God's word because of his academic explorations and factual discoveries. So he went out to disprove. And as a scientist, he wanted to see the facts. And as he studied 25 years to try to disprove that Luke's account in Acts is just made up things, you know, it affected his life. He came to know the Lord because it was factual. First point, as I studied this, I didn't know how to, you know, I'm like one of those three-point guys and practical, you know, applications. But I think as I was studying this, I just wanted to just go down the verses and kind of study it and see what it means. So point number one is in verse 3. And I titled this, What are Our Doubts? Let me read to you verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over 40 days and speaking about the things concerning the kingdom of God. Why did Jesus stay for 40 days? We see that in Luke's account in the last chapter, Luke 24, verse 38-39, he writes, and he said to them, why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? There's doubts. You know, there's always doubts for us because we're imperfect, we're sinners. And so there were doubts. Let me just continue. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. So he stayed for 40 days longer after his resurrection to teach them, to give them a peace, to give them instruction to what to do next. He showed his body, he showed his wounds. You know, he asked, look, feel. My nailed pierced hands. It's me. This is the body. I'm not a ghost. I can't put my hand through my body. You can't put your hand through my body. I'm a real person. Remember he appeared to 500 witnesses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? That was during this time. Remember he ate with them? Remember at the beach when they were fishing and he had the fish ready for them and he ate with them? And he ate with them, you know, when they met with him. And he taught them. And one of the great examples of this is the two men on the road to Emmaus. Remember, it reads, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Can you imagine that? The risen Christ teaching you, giving you, this is what Isaiah said, and this is what I have done. This is what David said in the Psalms, and this is how I fulfilled it. This is what Moses had written in his book, and this is how I fulfilled it. Amazing. I you know, how will that affect your faith? I mean, it's just an amazing fact that, you know, he left us with the Bible. He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we would not be abandoned. Point number two, the promise of the Holy Spirit. You see this in verse 4 and 5. In gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise of the Father, of that the Holy Spirit will be coming. We study that in John chapter 14. It reads, and this is Jesus speaking, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He may be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This promise that the Holy Spirit was going to come, that he was going to be our advocate. He was going to be our comforter. He was going to help us to rightly divide the word of truth. He was promised by the Father to us. Our next point, aren't we just like the apostles? Verses 6 and 7 said, So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom of Israel? But he said to them, it's not for you to know time or seasons, which the Father has set by his own authority. Aren't we just like the apostles? Their first question to them was, Lord, let's get rid of the Romans. Let's set up your kingdom now. Let's have political power. You know, their minds were of this world. But God, but Jesus was telling them about the kingdom. You know, sometimes we get stuck on, you know, especially today in the politics of today. And you know, I must confess, well, it's I have maybe three or four colleagues who who are Christians. And we talk about, you know, these political things. And, you know, the right side, the wrong side. And I keep reminding, it's, you know, my citizenship is in heaven. And, you know, these conspiracies that we talk about, it's not doing anything good for heaven. It's only dividing us. So we see the apostles are just like us. Just like that, we're not perfect. We do not have all the answers. But thank God that he is giving us the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the next point, which is the key verse. Verse 8. It's the key verse of the book of Acts. It reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." You know, the apostles were called to be witnesses for Christ, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we cannot convince someone to become a Christian. We can be a witness for the gospel. We can share the gospel, but we're never going to convince them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, and I thank God that it is. Because it's only through his power. You know, as I, being a witness, you know, I saw a movie, Judy saw part of it. Saw a documentary last week on Hulu. It's called Jesus Music. It was about the start of Jesus music in the 70s and covers up to today's Christian contemporary music. You know, that movie really brought me back to the 70s and early 80s. The music that I listened to, that I enjoyed, I was just a young Christian. I gave, you know, my life, I professed my sins to the Lord in 1979 as a young high school, I think I was going to be a sophomore. And music was important to me. I remember listening to this music on my boombox, the cassette tape, listening to it over and over, listening to a camp at Lake Geneva Youth Camp, and you know, just enjoying this music. But something in the movie struck me as far as the witness of the church. There was an interview with the legendary gospel singer Bill Gaither. He recounts a conversation with Jerry Falwell. And remember Jerry Falwell, the Moral Majority. I remember the Moral Majority because I did a report my sophomore year on the Moral Majority. Why is the Moral Majority the majority? The only place I could find literature on that is at the Mayus Library on Oak Park. Upstairs, because they actually had the publications of the Moral Majority. So I would spend some time and read some of these articles and used it for my my project. Anyways, I digress. He recounts a conversation with Jerry Falwell, who reportedly asked, "I've heard some stories about the lifestyles of some of the artists. Are they true?" Gaither said he responded, "They probably are." I said, "Jerry, if you're waiting for me to get a room full of unflawed artists, it's not going to happen. Gaither recalls, "These are human beings who have been gifted in a special kind of way. Yet they're trying to work through these earthly bodies, and sometimes they make mistakes." The church's witness was terrible during this time. You know, in its response to the divorce of Amy Grant, Sandy Patty, Michael English, and the alcoholism of Russ Taff. You know, we turned our backs on them. Even when they asked for forgiveness, we still turned our backs on them. You can, you know, if you don't believe me, just look it up into some you know, some of the headlines during that time of how some churches just were not forgiving. You know, how is our witness today? How is our witness today? You know, we don't want to go to church. We want to be the church. And as a church, the church has a witness. And that witness is in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. Let me just go on. Point five. The ascension. Do you know the power of the ascension? Verse 9 reads, "And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight." This is a Christian anchor, knowing that he ascended to heaven. This is another sidebar. If you remember, Steve Majewski spoke here about anchors that we need to have during trials. Well, this is an anchor for our faith, the ascension of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to add a praise to that for Steve, because next time you see him, congratulate him, because he's now the executive director at Emmaus Worldwide. Amazing. Amazing. We're so very happy for him. And actually, the other day I called him up. "Can I speak to the executive director of Emmaus Worldwide, please? I'd like to see if he would speak at Northwest, if he has time to speak at Northwest." He chuckled, you know, as Steve would. But he had a long, you know, we prayed for him. We prayed for him and, you know, his challenges of getting employment. You know, the power of the ascension. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "For Christ did not enter holy places made with hands, mere copies of the true ones, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." What is the power? He is our high priest. Christ presented himself to the Father and secured eternal redemption for his church by his own blood. We read that in some of the verses this morning. He is our intercessor. This is the power of the ascension because of what happened. He's our high priest. He's our intercessor. Christ stands between us and God the Father, defending us against Satan's accusations. He's our advocate, right? He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, this morning we sang, as we sang, "I am a child of the King with Jesus my Savior. I am a child of the King." So as a child of the King, we have access to the throne of God. Think about that. As a child of the King, I have access to the throne of God through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he ascended and is now at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 23 reads, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of the might of his strength, which he worked in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." He's on the right-hand side of the Father, the King of Kings, the Lord, and we have access to him. There's power because of his ascension for us. You know, as I was reading, I read this little snippet from John Flavel, 1600 English Puritan Presbyterian minister. And he made a lot of sense. "If Christ had not ascended, how could we be sure that the payment on the cross made full satisfaction to God? And God now has no more bills to bring in against us. 1600s, he wrote that. If Christ had not ascended, how can we be sure that the payment on the cross made full satisfaction to God? And God now has no more bills to bring in against us. You know what we can say? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Now, how should we have enjoyed the great blessing of the Spirit if Christ had not ascended? If Christ had not gone away, the Comforter would have not come down. The Holy Spirit begins with Christ. The Holy Spirit begins where Christ had finished. And I don't know about you, but I know that the Spirit works in my own life. His proddings and his peace that surpasses understanding that we can have and we feel. That's how we know that it's paid for, it's finished. Because just as the Father promised, he was going to send the Spirit, the Comforter, 50 days after his resurrection. That's the Pentecost. That's what we'll study in our next, in chapter 2. You know, praise God today what the ascension of Christ means to us. He saved us. We are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit. He sanctified us, and we are secure forever. Point number 6, verses 10 through 11. Hello, aren't you ready to go forward? It reads, and as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you've watched him go into the heaven. You know, sometimes we're stuck in just looking up. And remembering who he is, his promises, yes. Thank you, Lord. I feel peace. But he gave us instructions. He told us to go forward. You know, these same apostles. Oh, let me just keep continuing. I missed this point. You know, anchored in their faith, again, that anchored in their faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Convinced that he was the Messiah and Lord, they were confident to fulfill the mission he commissioned to them. Last verse of Luke reads, and I love this because he, you know, Luke doesn't say this in the Acts, and just the how the apostles were. It reads in Luke chapter 24, the last verses. And it happened that while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continuing the temple blessing God. They went forward. They had joy. They continued to bless God, preaching the gospel everywhere they went. They told people about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for sinners and his resurrection from the grave, which was going to be a gift of eternal life. And we see James, he was in Jerusalem. He was killed by Herod. John, he settled in Ephesus. Peter went to Rome. Tradition tells Matthias went to Turkey. Matthew to Ethiopia. Judas to Lebanon. And Thomas to India. Are we ready to go forward? Start right where you're at. Just like it says, Jerusalem. And then Samaria. Judea, and then lastly, even to the ends of the earth. So start where you're at. Start where you're at. You don't have to think, okay, I gotta do something for those people over there. No, it's where you're at. Last point is my time's running away. I know there's more, but it's prayer. Verse 14 reads, these all with one accord were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. You know, I'm thankful that we as a body of believers hold this important to pray for the sixth one, to pray for, you know, I enjoy the ministry of the women you know, the Tuesday morning and just the connectivity that they have, even if it's far, far away, but they pray together. You know, we have prayer meetings, and you know, we have this with one accord to continue to pray and meeting. They were meeting together, continued to meet together. You know, again, I'm just going to kind of wrap it up with some applications. And if you move on, we see the appointment of Matthias, you know, later, you know, in the last part, we see some, you know, the unity of what would be the church, the beginning of the church. But as far as applications, what are your doubts? Go to the Bible. Be in a Bible study. Now, don't be stuck leaning upon your own understanding. Go meet with Christians that know that you can talk about the Bible, that you can, you know, it says in 2 Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. If you accurately handle the word of truth, if you're in the truth, you're not going to have, you might have doubts, but you're going to know who holds you in the palm of his hands. You're going to know that he is with you. You're going to know that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Are we sensitive, you know, number two, are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Do we depend on his power? You know, verse 8 reads, you know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And we'll see that in chapter 2, just an amazing chapter. 3, the warning, are we just like the apostles? Are we interested in the world now instead of the kingdom of heaven? Are we more interested of who's in power here than who is in the kingdom of God? Power and be witnesses. Do we lean on our own understanding and our own powers to convince people about Christ? It is only through the work that empowers the Holy Spirit that we will change lives. We have to get that through our thick heads, because sometimes, you know, you talk and discuss. You know, I have to step back and just pray, Lord, open their eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Because I don't know all the answers. Do you know the power of the ascension? He sits at the right hand side of the Father, and he is our high priest. Let's not forget he's also our good shepherd. He is our light in this dark world. And he is able to sympathize with us because he was man too, remember? John, that Jesus is Christ. He was man and totally God. Are we ready? Are you ready to go forward? He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He's given us instructions. As Jehovah said to Moses, I'll give you the words. I'll give you the words. Just go forward and be my witnesses. It's a funny, you know, funny thing, that word witness in Greek also means, gets the root from martyr. Think about that. A witness, someone who has seen something and is able to testify in truth about what he has seen. A witness. We're to be witnesses of Christ. Because he has, you know, we as Christians definitely affected our lives. Let's share that with the people around us. And last is pray. And we just continue to, as a body of believers at Northwest, we have to continually to pray, because you know, even if I see the people here, and just number-wise, you know, it's, how do we do it? You know, it's because we're a fellowship of believers. We put each other before the throne of grace. We pray for one another. You know, let's continue in that practice. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for our upcoming studies in the book of Acts. Lord, give us wisdom, and as we read it, we thank you for these many historically based and accurate stories of your church in the first century. We thank you, Father, for these witnesses, for these men and women who at dire times, during persecution, during times where there's no answers, yet they look to you. And we know that because they realize the power of the ascension of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember His birth, His sacrifice, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension. Our faith is based on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank You. For today, He sits at the right-hand side of our Father, and He advocates for us. He is our high priest. Help us to live in victory, for He is in victory. Help us to remember His great love for us. Lord, help us today. Help us as we celebrate the birthday of our nation. We thank You for that fact. We just pray that we're a family, that we are friends, maybe some who aren't Christians, that we would go forward, that we would be the witness that You had asked us to be. Father, we just thank You for this day. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.